Thank you, everybody, for coming. This week is going to be the final shiur on the topic of Chomesh on a fifth. So we've been doing it for a while now. So Mirtzeh Hashem, I'm sorry.
5 weeks?
No, actually, a little bit more than that. I think about 7 weeks now. Mirtzeh Hashem, next week we're going to be moving on to the next topic. Chomesh is sort of the maximum of tzedakah, and we're going to go to the opposite end of the extreme. It's a much smaller topic, as is...
it's only 6.5 weeks.
No, well, it's the minimum shiur of tzedakah, so, you know, it'll be a small, maybe like 1 or 2 shiurim. And then we'll move on to Meiser. So, just as a very, very quick summary, we've been speaking about the fifth as the maximum amount to give to tzedakah. We've discussed various historical reasons for that. We've talked about, is there a difference between whether the poor person is here or not, or whether you're just kind of separating your money in advance. And then last week, we broadened it out to non-tzedakah mitzvos. We talked about, are there limits of a fifth that apply to other mitzvos, whether that mitzvah is always around or whether it's going to go away at some point, like buying a lulav or esrog. And what we said last week is that there may be a difference between positive and negative mitzvahs. So negative mitzvahs, you got to give up everything. The source for that was actually a little bit ambiguous. The Vilna Gaon said it's sort of like a kal v'chomer. We learned that out, that you have to give up everything to not transgress a rabbinic commandment. So obviously, you have to do the same and more for a biblical. As opposed to... What do you mean?
Comparing the Rabbanan to the Oraisa, there are many, many things where...
Yeah, so the Gemara...
Right, so
you are correct that the comparison from Doraisa to Rabbanan isn't always as smooth as we would think it to be. The Vilna Gaon says that at least over here, that's kind of where we get it from. And as opposed to by a positive mitzvah, by a mitzvah saseh, where we said either, you know, some people say a fifth. Many Rishonim, though, don't say a fifth. They just say a lot. You can't give up a lot. You don't have to give up a lot of money. The Rush used the language, you don't have to make yourself poor. So again, it's a little bit unclear as to how much that is, but it's you don't have to give a ton of money. And then the final part of last week's shiur was saying that it may not be a difference between positive and negative mitzvos, but about active versus passive transgression. If you're just sitting there, and just sitting there is a halachic problem, so then we say that's okay. You don't have to give up so much money for that. But if you're actively doing something wrong, so then that's where you have to give up a lot of your money. And usually that breaks down into positive and negative mitzvahs, but not always. So one of the examples is bal yira bal yematzah, about not having chametz in your possession. So you transgress that aveira by not doing anything. So the threshold might be lower about how much money you have to give up. If you have a factory and you can't get rid of all the chametz there, you may not have to, you know, blow up the factory before what's it called? Before Pesach, because you're not because that would make you poor again. So I want you to just kind of keep all of those factors in mind. Where we're going to go to another topic now, which is the limit of tzedakah for pikuach nefesh. So to be clear, we're not talking about your own life. We're talking that might be a separate equation. But what we're talking about is spending money to save somebody else's life. So this comes up a lot, at least in my parents' community. I haven't seen it so much here, but on Sundays, people come collecting in Teaneck and Bergenfield, with the te'udah from the local VAD, basically saying, I'm collecting money because I need an operation, my wife needs an operation, my kidneys, I don't have health insurance, I can't afford it. And if we don't come up with, $1.5 million within the next, month, they're not going to be able to do the operation and someone's going to die. So obviously you have a mitzvah of tzedakah, or not obviously, but theoretically you have a mitzvah of tzedakah in that scenario where you have an obligation to give. But the question is, does the regular limit of a fifth kick in at that point? Or do we say, no, maybe for pikuach nefesh, it's different? Now, again, one other caveat, which I mentioned last week, is that a lot of poskim say that there's a difference between whether this poor person is coming specifically to you or if they're just collecting in town. Meaning, if they're coming to town to collect, so then the burden or the obligation is not just on you, it's on the whole community. So I don't have to completely empty out my bank account if no one else is doing that. And so if everybody chips in, we'll be able to stay within our limit of a chomesh and still help this person out, fulfill all of his needs. So then I'm not obligated, no one would ever say I'm obligated to do more, because just like I'm obligated, the person next door, my neighbor, is also. So we're talking about a scenario where you are uniquely positioned to address this need in a significant way, either because you have a lot of financial resources or because there's a specific reason why they're coming to you. Maybe because they know you, you're their point of contact, or you have something, maybe even if it's not money, you have some financial assets that you're uniquely suited to be able to share, unlike other people. So that's what we're talking about specifically. So before we get to the sources, what do people think? Let's assume that pikuach nefesh is not different. Let's say it's not different. Let's say it's just like any other mitzvah. What would we say? Is the limit a fifth or more than that?
Well, if it's a regular mitzvah,
yeah,
then it's a fifth.
But so you say it's a fifth.
If it's being treated.
So assuming that it's no different than any other mitzvah, yeah, you say a fifth.
Yeah.
Okay, you say a fifth also. Why?
Because you just said it's like okay. A regular.
So what? So what is the mitzvah to save a person's life?
But it's not.
I know.
It's a fifth. It's a fifth. But it's fifth.
That's assuming everybody's going to chip in.
Making
an assumption.
Well, that you know, if you need, then make your appeal in a general sense.
Right.
Don't just make it to one specific person.
Right. Okay. So
one specific person is uniquely qualified to provide.
Okay.
Everybody's qualified to provide some guilt.
Some guilt. But not to the level that they need.
So, in terms of,
can you afford to give away all your money? Can you afford it? No. You give away what you can. A fifth.
There's a difference between all of it, like four fifths of your money, that you give away some of that remainder that you might not be obligated to give.
So you think so also? Okay. So, in terms of the mitzvah of saving a person, so there's both a positive and negative mitzvah. Right, so that's the negative mitzvah. The negative mitzvah is lo samod al dam re'echa. Don't stand by and watch over the blood of your friend. There's also a positive mitzvah, which is a little bit harder to figure out. No, because that's about you.
Yeah.
It's actually hashavas aveda. So if you're obligated to return people's stuff, then all the more so you should be obligated to return somebody's body. Take a look at source number 4. So the Gemara says, Minayin leroa es chaveiro, shehu toveya ba nahar, o chaya goreres, o listin bo analov, shehu chayiv lahatzilo. So how do I know that if you see your friend and he's drowning in the river, or an animal's chasing after him, dragging him away, or robbers are coming, armed robbers are going to kill him, how do I know that I'm obligated to save him? Talmud Lomar, lo samar al dam reyacha, there's a negative mitzvah. And then the Gemara asks, v'hamehacha nafka? Do we really learn it out from there? Mehasam nafka? No, we learn it out from somewhere else. Avedas gufo minayin, how do I know that I have to return somebody's body? Talmud Lomar veheishav talo. You're supposed to return it to him. Vahashevoso lo. And we darshan that it means vahashevoso, that you should return him lo to him. You're supposed to return him to himself. So the Gemara asks, why do I need losama adam reyacha if I already have hashavas aveda? So ime hasam, if I would have just had hashavas aveda, havamina, I would have thought hanimili binafshe. I would have thought that I'm obligated to expend, you know, to use my body, meaning I have to, I'm going to take, you know, if a guy's being dragged away, I got to go run into the river. I got to run after the animal. I got to pull him out of the, you know, out of the way of the robbers. Avo mitrach umegar agure, but to go expend time and effort and to hire people to help him, lo. I may not think I need to do that because I don't need to do that for Hashavas Aveda. If somebody says, you know, I lost my wallet. So if I think I may know where his wallet is, I got to go get it. But if it's going to take an obscene amount of time and effort, or I got to hire people to do that.
Detective to go find it.
Right. So I'm not obligated to do that. So therefore, Lo Samar Adam Reacha says, no, there's theoretically a higher bar when it comes to what's it called? When it comes to saving a person's life.
It's not regular Shabbat Avidah. It's a very special case. Kishama yesh yishu midat, yesh lo midat.
So we'll get to when somebody gives up intentionally. That gets into whether there's an obligation to save somebody from suicide. We'll get to that at the end of the share. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't think so, and everybody disagrees with him. We'll get to that at the end. But okay, so we'll get to suicide at the end. But what we see from this Gemara is that there's
you can redeem him before, so to say.
Right.
Here's the problem.
Hmm?
If this guy is in mortal danger,
right?
Now you tell me he's in mortal danger. I have to go and save his life,
right?
But if I save his life, I'm in mortal danger.
So we'll get to that. Yeah. Meaning this Gemara is assuming, at least on a simple level, that you can do it without endangering yourself.
Right.
That's an assumption, and people question that. I mean, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I'll just say it now, that there is a machlokas. Mm-hmm. Meaning, obviously, if I know that I'm going to die, I'm not allowed to do that because my life comes before somebody else's life when it comes to me having to give it up. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case. What often happens, like firemen, right?
If
you run into a...
someone from going, it really pull you down.
But that's
happened to me, you know.
Yeah, so...
To say a fireman, or even to say a first responder, cop, soldier, whatever, that's their, quote, their job.
Right.
I'm not trying to minimize it. Please don't get it wrong. But if I'm walking on the Henry Hudson Parkway Bridge, or I'm walking on Sputton Diable, the train station, and there's somebody drowning in Sputton Diable, am I supposed to endanger myself to go save him?
Depends how good a swimmer you are.
So
if you're not a good swimmer, no.
He took a good name, Quentin Davery.
So Victor, you are correct that if that's somebody's job, then there may be a different threshold. Meaning, if my job is to literally put my life in danger, that might be different. We see that often when it comes to. When it comes to hunting and stuff like that, you know, hunting's also dangerous. If I'm hunting an animal, maybe I shouldn't be doing that.
That's not the same.
But if that's my job, then maybe that's okay. Again, there's a lot of... I don't want to... Or maybe there's a difference between going skiing and... You know, going... you know, running into a building to save somebody's life. You may not be allowed to ski... But Rabbi Willig says you can't ski. I just went skiing. But Rabbi Willig does not like when people ski because when people go skiing down a mountain. He says it's too dangerous. But at the same time, he lets people, you know, serve in the army and become first responders. And the reason is because there's a difference between doing something for fun and doing something because that's your job for a constructive purpose.
It's like playing tennis. You could be, you know, hitting the head with a right,
exactly.
Ball,
so,
or a tennis racket even.
Or let me rephrase it.
What about walking?
So,
especially on this New York City street.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was just going to say. It's statistically more likely to. You know, we'll take this further again. This is not exactly our topic, but it's statistically more likely for somebody to die in a car or crossing the street than it is in a plane, and yet people will sometimes say Tefillas HaDerech on a plane. They don't say Tefillas HaDerech often when they're driving to work or when they're walking in the street, unless they're in a very dangerous neighborhood. And the reason why is because danger is also partially from our perspective, what we perceive as danger, and may not only be objective. The concept of sakana is very relative. Yeah, but nobody says. But nobody says you have to. If you're driving within Manhattan, I don't think anybody says you have to say Tefillas HaDerech. But you're more likely.
The distance of what is said, you have to say Allah many times.
But within a city,
I don't.
Even within a city, like if somebody's driving in your Yerushalayim to, you know, from one end to.
That's much more dangerous.
But that's my point. Meaning that's how I'm saying. That's my point.
Well, I don't know.
That's not going to work.
I called you. No, no. If you see some of the Israeli drivers, I'm not talking about terrorists.
They don't stop the stop signs. They go through red lights.
Right.
In Florida. All the other
in Florida? Also in New York.
It's worse down there. I have seen more guys.
Now that people go through red lights here.
You made the right
turn. Yeah, I didn't realize I was going to be opening up this can of worms.
I have seen one guy who
came with a can of worms.
Yeah, you're
saying to me that's a
dead worm.
Yeah, so my point about all of this is that the laws of sakana are very case specific and often depend on context and who you are and what you're doing.
And how good of a skier you are.
So bringing it back now to potentially endangering your life to save somebody else's, so there's a machlokas. Mm-hmm. There is a machlokas about it, and we don't really have a clear hachra when it's not like a professional thing. The Radvaz takes it a step further and says, what happens if I know I can save him, but I'm going to lose an arm? What happens if I'm going to lose a leg? Am I obligated to save him? That's not money. That's just my body. And the Radvaz says, I don't think you are because we don't know. You know, maybe you might bleed out. Maybe that limb is, you know, we can never 100% know. Maybe that limb is, you know, incredibly vital for you to be alive. But, you know, with modern medicine, we pretty much have a sense. And so, again, obviously, you have to know. But if I say, look, I'm going to lose my pinky finger, assuming that, like, you know, I know how to, you know, bandage myself, then I'm not going to bleed to death because of that. The Radvaz would say, yeah, you have to lose a finger to save this guy's life, if that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. And the Radvaz is totally... If that's what's going to save his life, yeah. And you know that you're not going to die. The Radvaz, I'm not saying everybody agrees. That's what the Radvaz says. If I'm going to lose a finger, but there's not going to be any danger to my life, I have to do that. As long as I know, I have to do that.
You also have to know that you'll be able to save this guy.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I mean, or at least there's a reasonable chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so my point, though, is that we're talking about bodies. What about money? Is money similar or different to that? So that's the question. Exactly. Right. So as we'll see, it's a machlokas in halacha. Just to spoil the end, the vast majority of poskim say that money is not different, but there are some that say that no, that money may be different actually. And
by the way, Mama discussed an issue that you think a limb that's not in eyes and nefesh when not no money in Shavua Shavua.
Nachon.
Correct.
That's why that's what the Rad, that's the Radvaz's point.
Can say that take you how is, does it give you the security that I don't endanger on my.
Well, no. That's why the Radvaz doesn't. The Radvaz says I can't tell you. If we don't know, then you can't do that. And he's saying that you shouldn't, if you don't know.
Right.
Again, I think nobody's actually at risk of dying if they lose their pinky toe or their pinky finger, assuming that they know
that's
how
to. Not necessarily.
Maybe not.
At the time of the
Rabbis. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying nowadays with modern medicine. And, you know, I have a bandage, I know how to make a tourniquet or something like that. Maybe. But you're right. Again, the Radvaz himself said, no, you can't, because you may die, because we don't know, or because medicine is not advanced. I'm saying now the Radvaz may change his psak. That's my point. So if we would just assume that the positive and negative mitzvos are like every other positive and negative mitzvah, so what would we say about the limits of financial support, of financial obligation that you have? So negative mitzvah would say, okay, I got to give up everything. But is this a positive? Is this an active or passive mitzvah?
Well, it's passive.
By definition, it's passive. Mm-hmm. So according to at least a good chunk of poskim, then the limit of a chomesh or of a lot of money, whatever a lot is, I don't have to do that. I give up to a fifth or up to a lot, but more than that, according to the poskim that say that it's passive versus active, maybe I don't have to. However, that does not seem to be what many poskim say. If you look in source number one, so sources number one through three all basically say that for pikuach nefesh, you have to give up all of your money to save someone else. They give slightly different reasons, but it's basically the same thing, saying that pikuach nefesh is different.
Well,
the Avos Chesed is the Chofetz Chaim. We'll get to him in a second.
But isn't that what we were saying before?
Right. Yeah. So now,
negative commandment, and so you have to give up all your money.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that it's passive.
Oh.
According
to those who say there's a passive.
Which is a good, again, that's not a das yachid. That's a significant number of poskim that say that passive is different.
Mm-hmm.
Passive is different. What you then have to say is that pikuach nefesh is different. Just like I can transgress any mitzvah aside from the big three to save my own life, so I got to do the same for somebody else. So the Sheilas Yavetz, that's Rav Yaakov Emden. So he says, "Va'od nirali dekisheyesh aniyim atufim birav." If there are poor people that are gripped with hunger, sheyesh lachosh sheyamusu biravon, that we're concerned that they may die from hunger. Afilu misha einlo ela kidei parnasaso. Even if you only have the basic amount that you need to live, sarech lechalek mehem mashe biyado. You got to give them some. V'lo yishar la'atzmo rak kidei chayev, and you only can keep for yourself the bare minimum that you need to survive. Ad sheyagia l'makom sheyisrael mitzuyim shefarneseu, until the financial situation is remedied, because, again, if no one can support this guy without endangering themselves, then the whole community's got a problem at this point. So you have to live on this very, very basic existence of basically sharing until you're literally going to die, up until that point, until you get external funding. Even if that means that you got to go asking people for money. And then he says, "Afilu the Rebbe Akiva." We're going to see this Gemara in a minute. Shelimed chayecha kodmin lechayecha vericha. Even according to Rebbe Akiva, that says that your life comes before anybody else. So Rebbe Akiva just says your life comes before anybody else, but he didn't say anything more than that. Meaning, up until your life, you got to care about somebody else's life. As long as you're going to live, you have to give everything of yours away to save somebody else's life. And in source number two, the Chofetz Chaim, wrote a sefer. We've quoted it once or twice, not in the source sheet. I've said it outside. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Avas Chesed. There's three parts to it. The second part talks about chesed and tzedakah in general, and he talks about it in the section about tzedakah. When he's speaking about chomesh and the limit of a fifth, he says, "V'nira demayri ba'ofen she'en nogeh l'pikuach nefesh mamish." So he says, I think that that's only talking about when there's no actual danger to someone's life. If you have captives that are going to die, meaning not that they're going to kill them, but like they're being so mistreated or malnourished that they may die in captivity. Or like the case of the Shelas Yavetz, that the guy is so poor that he's going to die. Ein shayach bazesh yer chomesh. The limit of a fifth doesn't apply. V'lo amru rak dechayev kodem lechayev chavercha. We only say that your life comes before. Aval de ashro, but your standard of living kodem lechayev chavero lo matzino. We don't see that that takes precedence. And the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 3 is a contemporary of the Chafetz Chaim. He says the same thing. Nirali de lepidyon shvuyin rashay lahosif al hachomesh. And so he says, you are obligated to give more in a case of pikuach nefesh. So the question is, where is that coming from? They don't give a pasuk. What they're basically saying is that just like that story from Rabbi Akiva, that famous debate that he had. So let's see that debate now. So this is source number 8. So Talmud is from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Shnayim shahayu mehalchen baderech, at the bottom of the page, there are two people that are on the road. They ran out of stuff. Ubiyad echad mehen kiton shomayim. One person has a jug of water. Im shosen shnehem mason. If they would share it, they wouldn't get enough and they would both die. Im shosa echad mehen magia li yeshuv. And if one drinks it, he'll have enough strength to get to civilization. So Darash ben Pitora darshind. Keep in mind that language. So what does darshind usually mean? From a pasuk. Yeah. So usually that language means a pasuk, but what can it also mean? He spoke about it in public. That's, he gave a drasha, he gave a halacha shir. So let's see what that means over here. Mutav sheyishtu shneim v'yamusu v'yeyro echad mehem b'misasa shel chavero. It's better that both of them should die and no one should basically see the other person die. And that seems to have been the halachic consensus. Ad sheyavo Rabbi Akiva until Rabbi Akiva. Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva until Rabbi Akiva came. V'limeid, and he taught v'chei achicha imach, that your brother should live with you. Meaning with you assumes that you're there. So chayecha kol min lechayecha vercha, that my life comes before you, and that's what's accepted lahalacha. So Rabbi Akiva darshan's a pasuk, ben Pitora.
Put a drasha out.
I don't know. So did he have a pasuk that we don't know? Right. So it sounds like that. So it sounds like darash just means I gave a drasha. So where did he come up with this from? What does mutav mean? It's better. Yeah, so it's like it's an ethical. He's a teacher of ethics, and so he determined it's better to do this.
Yes, so, Rabbi, in all these cases, I have always the problem. In many times when I study Gemara, it's really given to the individual judgment. It's a very subjective decision.
Well, yeah, but how else are they going to know?
I'm just telling you, it's a very, very hard, to kind. Go online, you do A, B, and C. The element of subjectivity is so present in all these situations that it makes it very hard to kind. You can regulate more or less in a very general manner, but when come push to shove, it's a very, very.
Yeah, you're saying that it's a lot. It's very easy to talk in abstract cases where we know all the, where we make up all the rules. Yeah, but if you're on the ground and you're the one that's, you have the water and you're determining how much water you need, it's yeah. It, so he seems to be a Tana. We don't.
What is his name?
He seems to be a Tana. Turn the page. This is source number 9. So this is a sifra. This is the Medrash Halacha. V'chei achi cheimach, same pasuk. Zodarash ben Pitori. Different version of his name, or his father's name. Shnayim shayuhochim bamidbar ve'en biyad echad alakitan shomayim shaso echad magia liyeshuvim shosim oso shnayim shnayim mesim. Same case, if you both, everybody drinks, they all die. If one drinks, he survives. Darash ben Pitiri yishtu shteyim v'yamusu. They both have to drink and die. Meaning you're still supposed to drink. Even though you know you're going to die, you're still supposed to drink the water. Also interesting to think about why. Shenemar v'chei achicha imach. Wow. So Ben Pitora, in according to the Sifra, he does darshan a pasuk. He says v'chei achicha imach. So how would you translate that according to Ben Pitora? You got to live together. It's the simplest interpretation. You got to live together. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. No, Rabbi Akiva says v'chei achicha imach imach chayecha kod min lachayecha veri. He reinterprets the pasuk to say no. V'chei achicha imach means I come first. So according to the Sifra, they actually are arguing about how to read this pasuk. So now the question is, does the Bavli have this different version? So did the Bavli just like cut it out because like, you know, it's not so important, we don't paskin like him? Or did they mamish have a different version and say, no, Ben Pitora didn't have a pasuk, he made this up on his own, and people liked the Svara, until Rabbi Akiva said, no, I have a way to read this pasuk that proves you wrong. So that's a debate. Now you may ask, okay, that's a very nice academic question. Does it have practical ramifications? We'll see soon that it may.
Did occur in concentration camps.
Correct. Yes, this question did come up a lot in the Holocaust.
And but you know this, to take Rabbi Akiva of Ben Pitora, you know, and use that and pasuk it out of in a concentration camp.
Yeah,
but it's also subjective in a certain sense, because you, the person who has this bottle of water, is saying, if we share it, neither of us will make it. If. He doesn't know.
You don't know. But when you're also not thinking, it's what is the condition of the two people? If one of them is extremely exhausted, dehydrated, and the other one has the water, or either case, here, you take it, you're in better shape, you go.
So
you have the right to make that decision.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a, it depends on the circumstances of the individuals and their judgment about what's
cut and dry halacha.
So I'll add something which may make this a little bit more palatable. Rav Asher Weiss is the son of Holocaust survivors. At least his father, I believe. I don't know if his mother, but his father, I believe, was a Holocaust survivor. Rav Asher, and so I don't know what these questions meant to him. Rav Asher said, ever since I was a little kid, I was always bothered by this Gemara. He said, if it's a pasuk, meaning if the Sifra says that it's a pasuk, like, okay, it's a gzeiras hakasuv, the Torah said something, maybe it makes sense to me, maybe it doesn't, that's the way it goes. But if you take the Bavli in the simplest way, that Ben Pitora does not have a pasuk, but rather he just reached this ethical conclusion, Rav Asher Weiss is like, how could you ever reach that conclusion? How could you ever say that you die together? It doesn't make any sense. And so Rav Asher Weiss says that, okay, apparently, I haven't seen it inside, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh on that pasuk, he says that we're talking about a case where there's, you know, it's not so cut and dry. Maybe help will come. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll meet a passerby in the desert. Meaning if you're mamish alone and there's absolutely no chance of anybody coming to help short of literally a miracle from Shamayim, so then it's obvious that my life comes first. If, you know, maybe something will happen, maybe there'll be a passerby, maybe there'll be a car coming down the highway or in the desert or a caravan or something. So that's where Ben Pitora comes and says, look, statistically speaking, you're going to die. You both of you are going to die. But there is a likelihood of something happening, of somebody being able to intervene. It's just a very low probability. So there, Ben Petora says, better that you both gave it a shot than just cutting somebody off. But if you know that there's no hope, so then even Ben Petora would say your life comes first. Now that makes it potentially even more complicated during Holocaust times because, yes, somebody could come, but what are the odds? Like, it's not like you're in the middle of the desert. Mm-hmm. You're in the middle of civilization, but civilization is against you. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know what he and his father mm-hmm. thought about these questions, but that's where Rav Asher Weiss is coming from. Be that as it may. So the Chafetz Chaim, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yaakov Emdin are all basically saying, what does this Gemara tell you? This Gemara says you've got to basically give up everything other than your physical life. So that should be the amount. So, but then the question becomes, well, so what are we learning from Hashavas Aveda? I don't have to do that for Hashavas Aveda. So we're getting a pasuk from there? Like, how does that work? So if you turn the page again to source number 10, this is the first photocopy that I have. So this is a journal called Moria. The Moria journal has been around since the late 1800s. It was first published in Frankfurt. I think now it's published jointly by Machon Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim, as well as the Moria... is the Moria Synagogue still around? The Moria Synagogue on the west side. I don't know, but the there's a kollel on the Upper West Side, which is connected to basically publishing this journal, the Moria Journal. So probably about 30 years ago, they asked Rav Elyashiv, someone asked Rav Elyashiv a question. He says, She'ela, ha'im adam chayev lases merichusho yoser mechomesh latzolas Yisrael acher? So exactly our question. Do I have to give up more than a fifth to save someone? And Rav Elyashiv said, Einu mechuyev b'kach. You're not obligated to. V'hatam, and the reason, D'hachiyav hatzalas Yisrael anu lomdim me'hashavas aveda. We learn out it from hashavas aveda. U'kishem shashavas aveda einu mechuyev lahotzi kol mamono. And just like you're not obligated to spend your money, all your money to save somebody's stuff, hu hadin b'hashavas kufa, same thing for his body. V'raya l'davar mehada b'sanhedrin, and you know, we have this proof from our Gemara in Sanhedrin that we read. Lama likro de lo samod al dam reyacha. Why do I need this lo sase of lo samod? Typically, we should be able to learn it out. Mishum mitzvahs v'hashevosolo. That you have to do hashavas aveda. U'mishaninan. And we answered, de mehai kro lechudei lo haviyadinan shemechuyev liskar acherim sheyatzilu. I wouldn't have known that I have to go hire people. And only I have to save him with my body. So from the fact that we have lo samad al dam reyacha, what do I know? I know that I'm obligated to hire other people to help save this guy. And so Rav Elyashiv said, so if you take the Gemara literally, I got to hire other people, but that's all I'm expected to do. I don't need to spend all my money to save this guy. Now again, you can make the argument that, like, well, if you're hiring people to save him, so like maybe you do. And in fact, the Maril Diskin, I believe, does say that. He never actually published it in a subsequent Moria journal. They published the Maril Diskin's notes. He was like one of the early Ashkenazi chief rabbis of Yerushalayim. They published his like handwritten notes on Gemaras. So on this Gemara in Sanhedrin, he says, from here we see, you have to spend all your money to save somebody. So him and Rav Elyashiv would evidently disagree. But what Rav Elyashiv says is that I don't need to do that. All I need to do is what this extra pasuk tells me, which is, okay, I gotta find workers. And now here comes the even more complicated part, which is, let's say I do hire workers. Can I send the guy who they just saved him the bill? You know, right now, in the New York City ambulances, they bill you. Mm-hmm. If you call them, you know, Hatzalah will only bill your insurance. If you don't have insurance, they won't bill you, from what I understand.
Why do you think they bill the insurance?
Okay, I don't know. But at one point they didn't, I think.
They're afraid to.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I mean, Baruch Hashem, that's why they need our support from the community. Mm-hmm. Where my parents live in Teaneck, so it's a volunteer ambulance corps, so they don't bill. But in New York City, if you call an ambulance, if you call 911, they bill you for it. Mm-hmm. So in halacha, what's the psak? So it's a machlokas, but there's many people paskin that, yeah, for Hashavas Aveda, I'm not obligated to pay a cent. If I'm taking care of your stuff, if I'm wasting my day not going to work to find your stuff, I can bill you for that. So the same thing should be true for Hatzalas Nefashos. If you look in source number 6, the Yad Rama, in his commentary to Sanhedrin, one of the Rishonim, he says, Umistabralon, Dehecha Detarach V'Ogar Aguri V'Atzile Shakomine, that if I expended time, effort, and money to hire people to save you, I can send you the bill. The only thing the Torah obligated me to do is to take away my was to waste my time finding people to save you. Nobody said I had to spend money. So the Gemara never said, I would have thought I don't have to spend money. Just said I didn't think I had to go hire people. And therefore, the Pasuk teaches me that I do have to hire people. But the Torah never said I have to spend money. The Torah just says I got to go find people. And just like by Hashavas Aveda for stuff, I can send you the bill. The same thing is true for Hatzalas Nefashos, for saving your life. I can send you the bill. If you go to the next source, in source number 7, the Rush, he has a slightly different opinion. He says, "V'hanitzol chayev lifroa lematzel mashahotzi." The person that was saved is obligated to pay what he can. De'adam mechuyev lhatzel nefesh chaver b'mamono hecha de'islay mamono lenitzol. If the other guy, the guy who's in danger, has money, so then, just like he's obligated to spend money to save himself, so I made it happen, but then I got to reimburse you for it. What happens if I don't have money? So then the Rush would say, you still got to save him, and okay, he can't pay you, he can't pay you.
Well, then it's like tzedakah then.
So, again, by tzedakah, you're saying for that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It was really interesting case in the Holocaust in the concentration camp. One guy said, if you give me this loaf of bread, if I will survive, I'll give you $100,000.
Really?
And they really went to court, honestly, because he wanted $100,000. And the Beit Din said no, because it was a pikuach nefesh, במצב של סכנת נפשות, ולכן הוא לא עשה את זה מתוך דעה שלמה.
I mean, you basically blackmailed me, or you twisted my arm, price gouging. Yeah. Okay. Wow. I didn't know that. So Rav Eliashiv basically holds like the Yad Raman. He says that I'm not obligated to spend money. Rav Asher Weiss says, no, that's ridiculous. You can't say that. It doesn't make sense.
Can we look at this in another way? Look at that star. Excuse me. Look at the star.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what?
Historical.
The Chafetz Chaim and
the Aruch HaShulchan.
Both lived in Poland.
Right.
In Russia. Just before, in the 20th century.
Before the Holocaust.
Yeah.
When the Jews were based, and then in the Pale.
Right.
When the Jews were stricken with poverty, and the answer is... answer that you have to give.
Right, yeah, interesting. So you're saying that Rav Eliashiv was living in a different culture now and set of circumstances. Now, just to sort of bring a proof to your point, this was not a halacha l'maisa question. In the footnotes at the beginning, you see there's a number tesvav. So there's at least 14 other questions that he was asked in this article, and they said it was basically his son-in-law was talking to him in learning. Language, the phrase is maso matan. So this may not actually be a psak in the classical sense. This just might be Rav Yashiv thinking off the cuff, talking and learning. But if someone actually, you know, said, I'm publishing this in a sefer, or, you know, I have a shaila, pressing shaila, he may have said something different or closer to the Chafetz Chaim and the Aruch HaShulchan, because they were living in that time, and he's just sitting in Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem, you know, in a relatively okay time. He's sitting and learning in Me'eshar. So you're 100% right. So this is the position of Rav Yashiv. The Maharsham also has an idea similar to this much, much earlier. But the vast majority of poskim disagree. And they say, you can't say that. It doesn't make sense to be able to say that. From the story of Rabbi Akiva. And Rav Yashiv, if you look in the next paragraph, he has a different way of trying to read the story, saying that since we don't paskin like Ben Petora, it's a svara, it's not a pasuk, so, you know, because we, that it's, sorry, it is a pasuk because really the Bavli does hold like the Medrash Halacha, so we did use that pasuk, and so we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, so we don't care about that alternative reading. He has a whole complicated way of reading it. What Rav Asher Weiss does, though, is he quotes a Rashi. Turn back to source number 5. Rashi pretty clearly says this. So, kamash malan. So, from the pasuk of Lo Samar al Dam Reyacha teaches us that I am obligated to go hire workers. So, what does that mean? Lo Samar al Atzmecha, don't, you know, wait around. Mashma el Chazor al Kol Hatzdadin. Go look every side, pursue every angle, Shelo Yevad Dam Reyacha, that your brother's blood shouldn't be lost. Rashi's saying the Gemara didn't just say go hire workers. It meant explore every angle, leave no stone unturned to make sure this guy stays alive. So Rav Asher Weiss says, that's where everybody's coming from. It's very clear that this pasuk, when it says you even got to hire people, it doesn't just mean you got to hire people. It means by hook or by crook, this guy's getting out alive, unless that means you got to give up your life yourself. Then you don't have to do that. But up until that point, you got to do what you got to do. And with that in mind, Rav Asher Weiss talks about other scenarios, because there are other exceptions to the rule where Hashavas Aveda doesn't apply. So one is what you said, which is Aveda Midas, which is, let's say, I don't care. You know, I don't care about this object. Not that I just threw it in the street, but like, I'm cavalier with this type of possessions. And so like, yeah, I lost this. I threw it away. I don't care. So the halacha is very clear. I don't have to spend any time, let alone money. I have no mitzvah to go bring this back to you.
Right.
The other,
how do you know about that?
Right. So again, you do have to know. The Gemara has like certain cases where like it's very clear. You know, if you find like a couple of seeds on the ground or something like that, where it's very clear that like the person doesn't care. The other case is a zaken ve'eno lichvichvodo. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that if there's an old guy and he's very weak or he's very mechubedik and it's pasnish, it's not lefi his respect to be schleptzaching this animal or this big, you know, object around, or spending his whole day, you know, is it yours? So you're potter, you don't have to do hashavas aveda. So in both of those cases, if somebody's life is at risk, do we say, he wants to commit suicide, so you don't have to save him? Or do we say, no, the only person that can save him is the Rosh Yeshiva, so I'm not going to make the Rosh Yeshiva run? Assuming that the Rosh Yeshiva is physically capable of diving into the river to save the guy, should I say just because he's wearing a fancy hat and frack, he doesn't have to jump into the water to save him? So some people, the Minchas Chinuch says maybe. And again, the Minchas Chinuch is a sefer that is purely halacha v'lo l'maisa. Story of the Minchas Chinuch was a brilliant Talmud Chacham. The Minchas Chinuch was written on Friday afternoon after he would go to the mikvah. Apparently, he had a long afternoon.
The second version, the first version, I think they burned it.
That I don't know.
Because they thought, what you writing? It's not so completely proper. That's what I
heard. Oh, that could... I don't know. I know this... all I know is that the story is he would go to mikvah early on Friday afternoon, and then he would learn Sefer HaChinuch, and he would write stuff down. So these were clearly not halacha l'maisa questions. It's him thinking and learning and talking, like Rav Yashiv. He's a big Talmud Chacham. We have to take it seriously. But would he paskin that? I don't know. But the Minchas Chinuch says that if it's a zakein ve'eno lichvi chvodo, or if it's aveda midas, if the guy is jumping off a cliff, I'm not saying I may not be obligated to, just because I'm not obligated to do that if it's an object, because we learn it out from Hashavas Aveda. And what does Losamar al Dam Reyecha add? It just adds that I got to go hire people. But all the other halachos of Hashavas Aveda apply. And Rav Asher Weiss says, absolutely not. That's ridiculous.
If you include the issue of Hashavah, to the best of my knowledge, Yehush, you're not Zocheba Aveda Ache Atabatua.
Correct.
Okay. And therefore, if you're going to apply to this situation, it seems like no matter what, you have to do everything to the atzil. You don't know if it's mechayav or not it's mechayav. According to, because it was very bothering me when I learned the sugya. He says you cannot find any, you cannot take any avedah unless you are sure.
Correct. Yeah, you do have to be absolutely certain that the person gave up.
I don't think it's plausible in all cases, but who am I?
Point taken. Yes, that is true. We're not going to read the whole thing inside just because it's so long. But in source number 11, the Klei Chemda was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Poland pre-war. His most famous svarim are on Chumash, but they're not really Parsha. It's basically just him. It's his halacha shiurim organized based on the parsha that he would give in yeshiva. So he quotes the Minchas Chinuch and disagrees very, very strongly. So we'll just read the beginning. He says, "Amnam," in the second word, "Amnam be'emes lo ra'a divrei Rabbeinu Hagadol Maharam Meirutenberg." The Minchas Chinuch did not see the tshuva of the Maharam Meirutenberg, who was the Rebbe of the Rush, the one who said that if you know, the person doesn't have enough money, you still gotta pay to save them. And the Maharam Meirutenberg himself was locked up in prison. Mm-hmm. So he says, "B'tshuva simin lametes huva dvarav b'sefer revid hazav." This is the source. "Shakasav b'zeh halashon de amrinan b'perek ben sora umore de afal gav." Daf ayin gimel amid aleph de yalef mikra. We learn out from the pasuk Daroa as chaveru tovea banar dechayev lahatzilo mitrachu leegari ruge. So he says, you know, we learn out from this pasuk that you got to hire people to save somebody's life, and then the Maharam Meirutenberg continues, v'davar pashut afilu tzavach al tatzilenu. Even if the guy screams, "Don't save me," shematzilo v'chozar emotzi mimenu mashahotzi. I can save you, and I can send you the bill. There was a Disney movie called. Called The Incredibles. It was about superheroes. So the way the movie starts is some superhero saves somebody, and the guy says, "I didn't want to be saved," and he sues him for the superhero for all the physical and emotional damage of staying alive and his hospital bills. So this is the exact opposite. The Rush, the Rebbe of the Rush, who literally refused to be bailed out of prison, says, even if the guy says, "Don't save me," you have to save him, and you can send him the bill afterwards. So it's very clear that that school of thought says that nefashos, dine nefashos, are different than dine mamonos, even though they're both talking about Hashavas Aveda. And that's what he basically spends the rest of the two paragraphs basically saying, that they're different. That even though, yes, they are technically learned out of the same source, you have to say that pikuach nefesh, and when it comes to somebody's life, that the calculus is different, and you got to do whatever it takes, even if they don't want to, even if it's not lefi chvodcha, even if you got to spend money and they can't afford it, you have to do it. Why or how do I know that? So that's what Rav Asher Weiss says of losam and al dam reyach. It doesn't just mean you got to go hire workers. It means leave no stone unturned. So halacha lemaisa, Rav Asher Weiss and most poskim say that by pikuach nefesh, you are obligated to literally give whatever you have to save somebody's life. Now, I do want to reiterate what I said at the beginning, that if they're not only coming to you, but they're coming to other people, so then the calculus has to be, okay, fine. Can everybody where this person is going address this need? Meaning if they're, for whatever reason, only collecting in Teaneck, and that's really the only place they can go, can the people in Teaneck take care of this? And if they can, great. And we have to spend, all of Teaneck has to spend whatever they can. All of Riverdale has to spend whatever they can. But if this person is jet-setting from Israel to L.A. to Chicago to New York, So then, okay, fine. So then all of Klal Yisrael has to say, we got to give whatever it takes, and then we can do. That we can do most of the time. So that's the, obviously there's more, but that's the end of this sugya in terms of spending more than a fifth to save somebody's life. Emetz Hashem, next time we'll talk about the minimum shear of a third of a shekel per year. We'll talk about what that is and how we calculate that now. All right, have a wonderful week.
Yishkoyach.
Yishkoyach.
I would...